Welcome, everyone, to the SI Media Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Traina. Thank you for joining me. Big show this week in studio. The voice of Monday Night Football, Joe Tessitore. Before we get to that, a couple of things. Last week, got great feedback on the podcast with Alan Sepinwall, the chief TV critic at Rolling Stone. A lot of Sopranos talk. So if you have not listened to that, if you're a fan of TV, and if you're listening to this, I'm sure you're a fan of TV, check that out in the archives. One programming note, the podcast is moving now to Wednesdays. We've been coming out on Thursdays forever, since at least I took this over from Mr. Richard Deitch. But we will be coming out on Wednesdays going forward. So keep your eyes, ears, and nose open for that. I don't know why you have to keep your nose open for a podcast. But Wednesdays going forward for the SI Media Podcast. And now we get into it. And I'm so happy to have him in studio. Always makes for a better show. Thank you for dealing with the rain and flying in from Tampa, Joe Tessitore.
Well, thank you for having me. But now I'm curious about the Sopranos talk from last week. What was the big hook there?
You have to listen. I can't give it all away.
But just now, tell me
Alan Sepinwall has a book coming out in January about this, all about the Sopranos interviews with David Chase.
Right.
And I didn't want to have him on in January when he does 5,000 book interviews.
Exactly.
So he was nice enough to come on last week.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to look forward to that.
We got into the show. He revealed a couple of things I didn't know, and I thought,
Just give me one right now.
The actress who played Livia, Nancy Marchand,
yeah.
He explained how her passing away affected some of the storylines, because that following season, there's a season that ends with she gets arrested because Tony gives her the bad bus tickets. He got him hidden in the car. So the next season was him having to keep his mother happy so she doesn't testify against him.
Right.
But they couldn't do that storyline because the actress in real life passed away. But that was supposed to be the focus of that next season, was him dealing with his mother and trying to have her keep him out of jail and all that stuff, which would have been interesting.
She portrayed that character with a certain strain of nastiness that came right through the screen.
Yes. And it was... you don't usually see mothers portrayed on TV as not being nice. And
correct.
I thought it was brilliant the way they did it, because mothers like that do exist. I'm not saying anything, but
all people like that do
yes,
exist.
But it was
not
it
you
was,
though.
No,
not
but
you.
it was
nor Lou.
It was
you're sitting in a room with three Italian men.
Yeah.
And you don't think that mothers like that exist?
Well, yeah, exactly. To that extreme.
My mother beat me up the stairs.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Now, she was loving and wonderful, but God forbid you took a misstep or said the wrong word.
Absolutely.
It's going to turn into a Dr. Phil
session. I was just going to say, we don't want to get into
very
this.
Very high standards of Italian moms.
Yeah. I remember seeing my cousins do this. He would run to the phone and say, I'm going to call child service. I'm going to call DIFAS, whatever it was.
The wooden spoon right out of the sauce.
So I did that once, and my mother looked at me and she says, go ahead, call them. By the time they get here, I'll have you tied up with the phone wire and I'll beat you with the receiver. Mm. And I was like, that's it. I'm never doing that again.
But
anyway.
But Livia was worse than a wooden spoon. Livia was way worse than a wooden spoon.
There was psychological warfare.
Yeah.
I will tell you this, though. That character, to me, of all the characters in The Sopranos, strayed the furthest from what would be the typical Italian-American family member of that generation, of that era and demographic and locale.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen some Livia in my time from some family
members.
In
terms of the personality?
Well, she didn't have that Italian personality, I thought.
Correct.
But the writing, the things she said... Mm-hmm. The general miserableness that
understood.
Was there. Yeah. The writing on that show was so good that I thought.
Yeah, superb.
But yeah, she wasn't that Italian, Junior and Carmela and Tony, think had more of the language and verbal sort of things. The Sunday family dinner is a big, Carmela would get mad if Tony got up from the table.
Correct.
Sunday
1 o'clock rigatoni.
Yeah. To this day, I fight with my parents and try to explain to them that I don't want to eat dinner at 2 o'clock on Sundays, but they don't.
Oh, we were worse. We were 1 o'clock.
12:59.
If you weren't seated with the 41st cousins, forget about it.
You're
done.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not dinner. This is not dinner.
Literally, my grandpa Miranda would be 12:59. You are seated. He is ready and is being served at 12:00:01.
Yeah. So that's a little insight into the life of Italian, crazy Italian people. So you literally just flew in, just got here from Tampa. Well, let's start with this. How are you liking the new gig?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's extremely challenging.
Yeah.
But the resources are incredible. I mean, the crew is obviously at ESPN. we have so many good broadcast crews, and I was on, you know, one that if I spent the rest of my career on, I'd be happy with Todd Blackledge and Holly Rowe and the director who is superb, and Scotty Johnson, Phil Dean, the producer, and the best camera people and everything. But, you know, you sit there on Monday Night Football, and the amount of support staff and researchers mm-hmm. and the best camera people and the best technical people and audio people, the audio has been unbelievable. That is the one thing. I don't know why that's hit me in the head, but a few weeks in, and I don't know if you guys have noticed it. Maybe you watch Monday Night Football. Well, actually, they amped up the audio even more this year because now they're wiring an individual player every right. week, which is incredible. So you're getting that NFL
every
film.
Player should be wired in every sport for every game.
It's incredible. Yeah. I mean, you're getting the reason you'd watch Inside the NFL four days later. You're now getting that live in action. I mean, last night McCoy was amazing.
How much run would it get today if Chris Conley was wired last night?
Oh my.
I mean, that would be gold.
Unreal.
Gold.
That was, but
gold.
You know, I tell you, I thought there was a moment of gold last night that you never hear. McCoy comes in and he gets the roughing, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And then we replay it full audio because he's wearing our mic.
Right.
As he's tackling him, he's apologizing.
Yep. Yep.
My fault, Ben. As they're going down, he's saying it, then says it again.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That's good stuff. That's good stuff. That's good stuff yeah. now. So I've been blown away by just who I'm surrounded by.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
That's good.
It's been a lot of work, though, because obviously, you know, we're starting from fresh with a new crew.
Right.
And not only a new crew, but a guy who just got off the field and another guy who's four games into his career. He's, you know, a versatile guy, but not Booth. Like, right. You know, I was with Todd Blackledge and right. Matt Millen. And
I always ask all play-by-play people this question. And I don't know if ESPN technically says it's a three-man booth, but it is. Do yeah, you as a three-man crew, yeah. prefer two or three people for a booth?
Oh, I've done it all.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? I've done two-man booths mm-hmm. that have smothered the broadcast more than what this three-man crew does.
Mm-hmm.
This three-man crew, one of the things I marvel at is for it being a three-man crew, we are getting the natural sound of the game. The game breathes. We are not bleeding all over the game and wall-to-wall talk.
Right.
That has surprised me.
Now, it's interesting because some people interpret that as Witten being a little slow to get in there and jump in with analysis. You don't feel that's the
case.
Oh,
no, you have to understand something. Every crew that I'm on, if I'm on a two-man crew and you're working with me for the first time, I will turn to you. I don't care if we're doing college basketball, boxing, NFL, college football. And I would say, hey, Jimmy, so it's the two of us broadcasting. You understand we do a three-man booth here because the third broadcaster is always the natural sound of the event.
Right, right.
If you don't allow for the natural sound of the event to be the last broadcaster – and have that equal space, then you can't work with me.
Yeah.
I live by that. Live by that.
Well, some of the best calls of all time are when the announcer is quiet, lays out.
Football is an anticipation sport, mm-hmm. right? The best third downs, the best fourth downs. If you actually listen to the way I broadcast a lot of times, there's times where I won't say anything for 4 seconds before a snap and through the drop back of a passer and then just present it, give you that moment of it's third and nine or they need this or something, you know. So the natural sound of the game has to be the other broadcaster.
Yeah. Have you paid attention to any of the feedback from viewers? Do you care about feedback from
not
viewers?
Not the way everybody else does. Some, not I was, most.
I was yeah. shocked at how people were diving right in on Witten right from the first preseason game.
Oh, from the – and that I heard about.
Which I thought
that
was –
that I heard about.
I mean, I had people – because I write about media a lot, obviously. Yeah. This is a media podcast. His first preseason game, I was getting tweets from people asking me what I think of Witten, and I'm like, I can't judge him on a preseason game.
And by the way, preseason football is not meant to be exhibition at all.
Right,
it is full grown man war.
Right.
Right. You can't do it. So then to broadcast it like that, where it just becomes sort of, you know, conversational, and you know, and you got 90 guys on a roster, and like you said, it's out of your mind.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I can tell you is, listen, we're well aware that we were probably better last night than we were the week before. We were probably twice as good as we were week one. We'll probably be five times as good, you know, a week from now. You know, it's just we're gonna grow. It's about chemistry. This is gonna be a long term thing, and we're gonna be good.
I've said this many times before. Tony Romo did a lot of damage being that good from second one of his first game because for some reason now fans think every broadcaster is going to be that way, and it's just not the case. I mean, most people have to grow into it.
Well, it depends on what your style is, too. I think Romo's style is very non-conforming.
Yeah.
He's very likable.
Yes.
But he's not out there pitching a perfect game in a no-hitter. he's out there being so authentic and so passionate, yeah, enthusiastic and likable, and you can't help but turn him on and like him.
Right.
But Tony would probably be the first to admit to you and, you know, say, hey, man, I need to get better with this. I need to be more refined here. I need to be more polished here. But he's so likable.
The first half of the season last year, Romo was doing color in a way we had not heard before.
Correct. And then, authentically, passionately, right, just being so much comfortably being himself.
Right. And then, and this is speculation with sort, yeah, of a little bit of confirmation off the record, but the suits got to him and told him to stop predicting the plays. And I think, for me, I know, I like the broadcast a little less now that he stopped doing that, but I guess there was a lot of blowback on him predicting the plays in every game. So they sort, yeah, of, you know.
Dude, it is very hard to try to do the correct, perfect, proper broadcast. It's much easier to do the broadcast. It's much easier to broadcast like David Pollack broadcasts, mm-hmm, where he just doesn't even care. Just, right, irreverently, just out there, whatever. I'm breaking all the rules. I'm talking. And David and I are good friends. He'll talk about this. It's like, whatever, you know. And that's what makes him the way he is as a broadcaster. Right. It's much harder to try to do a broadcast the way a Todd Blackledge does a broadcast. Right, by the book, very, and perfect and, yeah, precise, yeah, and the perfect measurement and every statement, you know, you can be held accountable for, and you can slam dunk it, and you feel good about what you said, and the natural sound of the game, and you're gonna come close to throwing a no hitter every game. When you have the perfect broadcast, you should retire because it's never gonna happen. And last night, right, I had one of my worst moments.
Now, why
ever.
Do you say that? Oh, one of your worst moments. Okay.
Oh, I almost didn't sleep last night because I did something last night I haven't done in 20 years,
which is,
of broadcasting. I misidentified a player.
All right. See,
and I know the roster's cold. When, right, I go into a broadcast, I don't like tell you the whole everybody.
Right, right.
And I mis-ID'd a player and went through the whole play not even realizing I mis-ID'd a player. And by the way, it was, see, the punter in the first quarter of a, right, game.
But to me,
and I
that's,
said, come back, you got to show the punter. I got to apologize. I got to, you know, it drives me crazy. Crazy.
See, I think it's funny because I'm trying to think who this happened with recently. I can't remember. I'll praise a guy, maybe, I don't remember who it was, but I will often get people on Twitter, and again, we're using people on Twitter, but I'm surprised how many people on Twitter critique a play-by-play person for either misidentifying a player, yeah, or saying, you know, it's second down. When it's, to me, those are mistakes that are going to happen. Like, that's just...
Yeah, but I find, at my level of the business, Jimmy, and doing Monday Night Football, if you took Buck... And Aikman, you know,
they've all misidentified.
I know, but we would all tell you, you just can't do it. You can't. I know where it's going to happen. You can't, and you don't want. And we work all week. You know how much film I watch every game that a team has played to that point in the season. I've got the roster memorized. My spotter comes to me on Monday midday. Boom, boom, boom. Number. Boom, firing off. It just is so unacceptable.
It's just a classic example of shit happens. Like,
I understand.
You know,
and by the way, everybody told me that last night. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't sleep.
In your defense, the Bucks have weird numbers, too. I could see how you can maybe mistake it.
Yeah, but it wasn't even that. It was literally, I said the puncher on the other team. I had time and conversation here.
Right.
About
that
the
is
guys
a
out
classic
there,
example of a shit happens
on the
mistake.
Team,
it happens. To me, I'm more annoyed if a guy is...
Well, what's disgusting is my son is actually a college puncher and college kicker. So it's like my...
BC, right?
Yeah, special teams is my love, and I miss it. Yeah.
I have to admit, after Joe's blunder last night, I turned the game off.
Yeah, so right,
I stopped watching.
By the way, it ended up being a great game, so forget the first quarter misidentifying a punter. But
how into analyzing, looking at, breaking down the Monday night schedule? I mean, listen, no matter who plays, you have to do a game. So it doesn't matter if it's the best teams, worst teams. But do you know, 4 weeks from now, I have this great game coming up?
Trust me, when Tampa Bay and when Fitz started doing what they did week one, I turned to Jay Rothman, our producer, I go, wow, this changes week three. Then when they did what they did, I go, holy cow, what a game. That was a scene last night. That was an event.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh desperate for the win, all the turmoil with Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, all the stuff. Desperate, and then the 2-0 Fitzmagic. And by the way, he did it again last night. Went for 411 yards last night, and it was a thrilling game. So we really stepped into one last night. And now next week we got undefeated Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes with the best start in NFL history with 13 touchdown passes at Mile High, classic rivalry. And now as long as Drew Brees doesn't pass for 400-something yards, we're going to have Drew Brees a week from Monday breaking the all-time NFL passing record for yardage.
Next, you got a good one next week with the Chiefs. Because the Chiefs are going to be the two best teams. So, I know everyone's going crazy about the Bucs. The two best teams to watch are the Chiefs and Rams. Those are the two best teams to watch.
By far.
Yeah.
And so the Rams, you have the most balanced roster, most loaded roster, although these cornerback
injuries now.
You know, and then the Chiefs, you have arena football coming to the NFL. I mean, this is what we have with the greatest show on turf with St. Louis a generation ago. They are so much fun to watch, and Mahomes is outrageously talented. So we're thrilled with this week. And it looks like it's not going away. I mean, they're going to be putting up these points every single week.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, and you say, do you look out at the schedule? Do you realize third week of November, the Mexico City Monday Night Football game is Chiefs-Rams?
Oh, there you go.
You want to talk about
over
a Super
under
Bowl
80.
Preview? How about a Super Bowl preview there?
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I think the Rams
in Mexico
are going to the Super Bowl.
City on a neutral site. Yeah. I mean, you know.
That save your voice on that
you
one.
Come
you'll be calling
some tequila.
You'll be
with
calling
me,
touchdowns.
About, drink some
yeah.
tequila.
You'll be calling touchdowns about every 3 minutes.
Oh,
in that
it's gonna
game.
Be it's gonna be unbelievable.
that will be the highest total of the year. I can't wait to see what the over under is.
That's gonna
be
so much fun.
Since I mentioned the total, let me put you on the spot quickly. I know CBS, their president, told me before the season that their broadcasters will not mention point spreads in any way, shape, or form. And I did a bad job there because I was curious if that decision came from McManus or from the NFL passed on down to the networks. Has anyone from ESPN, do you have any directive on mentioning, this game could go over? Or
We've had conversations as to what feels like it fits in the body
of the
broadcast.
Like last night, the game went over on that last touchdown.
I didn't know that. Yeah,
okay.
I didn't realize that.
Well, you got to come on.
I didn't realize that. What was Pittsburgh was grabbing a point?
Well, no. The total was 55.
I know what the total was.
Oh,
the total.
The line was.
You think I don't know what a total?
Well, you didn't mention it last night.
No,
I'm
going to mention. What am I doing a show for gamblers? Or
yes,
am I doing
it's legal now. You got to consider that.
You know what the total is. I need to tell you what the total
well,
is.
Well, you give a congratulations.
I don't think it necessarily.
I want to hear a congratulations to those who have the over.
Here's the deal. In a pregame show, in a radio, the week leading up to it, you talk about point spreads. You preview a game. Once you get into the body of the game, I'm documenting a football game. You know what the total is. You bet it.
Yeah, so give me like congratulations to those who have the over.
Yeah. That's
or as Al would say, that was overwhelming.
Yeah.
Al knew how to.
If you want to get cute, that's fine. I'm, you know.
I
mean, I'm previewing bad beats coming up on SportsCenter with SVP. And
all right.
Stanford
yeah, he covers
Steve
all that.
Up. Oh, you better bet your buddy does.
So the story, it's interesting. It's funny. It feels like every year there's a storyline that is not within the game, meaning the anthem was last year. And
sure. Well, that's the
that.
NFL.
Now we've got the roughing the passer
right,
penalty.
Yeah, right.
Which, by the way,
we weren't supposed to have. We were supposed to have initiating contact with the helmet.
Right.
But now
it's all about putting your weight on the quarterback. And speaking of gambling, bet all the overs because thanks to that penalty, every game's going over this year.
That's right. Grabbing 15 yards, moving the ball downfield.
As a play-by-play guy, do you get annoyed that like, okay, we got to now harp on this and talk about this because it's such a big storyline, I just want to call the game?
I want to serve the fans if that's what everybody wants to hear. Last night, we basically built in a segment in the game of having game discussion. Yeah. We come back on camera, we're discussing it, we show the Clay Matthews stuff, you know,
the one you had last night, which was Roethlisberger got slapped on the head. That they're always going to call.
Yeah, right.
You didn't have a...
Yes, we had a couple of those.
You had a couple of those.
Yeah, we had a couple of those last night. We had four, in fact, which tied... We had four in the first half last night.
Right.
Which tied the record going back to 2001 for most. And then we didn't have one to get to five. But, I think it's interesting. You know, we were talking about discussing it. You know, and we meet with coaches and players every week, so the feedback that we get is, how am I supposed to coach this? How am I supposed to play? How am I supposed to do that? You know, and they're dealing with it in real time, so we describe that. And it is serving the fan because it is an issue in the league. It's something that's a concern. It's something that's a concern for players and coaches. It's something that the league – listen, I went to the league offices a few times this summer. Witt and Boog were there with me. We sat there with Al Riveron, the head of officials. We watched tape. We went through all the different instances, what they're looking for, how it's to be officiated. So, you know, we're dialed in, and if it serves the fan, we're going to
discuss
it. You
think there's any chance they change the rule mid-season?
Mid-season's challenging, but I think the competition committee raising a concern and saying, hey, are we over-officiating it? Should we be looking for this? How should we be teaching our officials? What should they be looking for so that it aligns with what our intention is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's fair. But the rule exists.
Right. Well, But when you have quarterbacks coming out,
yeah,
saying
and
the
they're
rules
saying
a little much,
right? Then you can,
and it's specifically the weight falling on the quarterback, and now you have a guy William Hayes who's out.
That
for
was
the,
so bad.
Out for the year.
That was so bad.
I mean, now you have when that happens, you the NFL. I said. I've always said they'll never change the rule during the season, but I wonder if that maybe changes things, maybe, and they do something a little differently now that that injury.
Yeah,
happened.
I think it'll be brought up and they'll address what appears to be a concern that we're getting a lot of these. But based on the video that I watched all summer, this is not a shock to me. It, you know, if you're sitting in those offices on Park Avenue and you're going through the video, I do think, you know, some of them you look at and you say, okay, now that's just a football play. Mm-hmm. It's just a, but
like Cam Hayward last night. He yes. ended up getting a flag for yes. roughing the passer that they picked up, and it was funny.
They did pick it up. Booger would lost his mind if they weren't going to pick
it up. It was one of the best moments of the night because there's this giant hulking defensive lineman. He's walking towards the referee, and the ref still had his mic on. He goes, no, we dropped that flag. There's nothing that we picked it up. We picked it up.
I thought Booger was going to run out onto the field and pick up the flag.
I get nervous for Booger every now and then because when they do the shot of him, the isolated shot, and then the contraption that he's moving on.
It looks like he's going like 40 miles an hour and he's bouncing.
Right, I feel like he's in like an all-terrain vehicle. I'm like, he's going to fall out of that thing.
You have a 285-pound man bouncing up and down and 10 feet above the field.
I was going to try to go through this whole podcast without bringing up the gimmick of him and the crane because I didn't want to be mean. But
sorry,
it's been brought up.
You should have checked with me.
Can they just put him in the booth, please, and stop with the gimmick?
Well, it's not a gimmick. When he turns to me, he's like, Tess, you should see what's happening like 10 feet underneath me. What is it? You know, we're just...
But you could see... Here's the thing about it. If you want to put him in the crane or whatever it is, that's fine. But do we have to then go to him and see him 20 times in the crane? Can you just show the field? It's not for you. It's for the producer. Pass it along to the producer.
Okay, I will.
Thank you. We don't need to...
Why don't we get Jimmy up
We
in
don't
the,
need
in
to see
Boogmobile.
Him in the crane 20 times during
we'll
the game.
We'll get Jimmy in the Boogmobile. He can experience it.
I don't want to... Just show me the field. I don't need to see Booger on the crane every 50 times.
Booger's such a handsome man.
You do see the field, though. It's an isolated shot in the top third of the screen.
I'm trying to be nice. I don't want to talk about that.
Okay, what's going on? What else do you want to talk
enjoy
about?
It.
I like the
Bobby
overall.
Bacala,
I
li- what do you want
I like
to talk
the
about?
Overall telecast. I just don't want to see Booger
You're
in the
so
crane.
Nice.
We got
Thank
it.
You.
He's in a crane.
We're just trying hard. That's what I can tell you. We are trying hard.
Was Monday Night Football a dream job for you?
Yeah. Well, how quickly you want me to answer that?
Well, because you had a very good thing going with college.
If I stayed in my career path of doing the Saturday Prime and the college football playoff and, you know, everything that I've done with college and the national championship with all the shows attached to it and the world championship boxing now that, you know, Top Rank has brought their HBO stuff over to us and everything, you know, and SEC, my life would be great.
Right.
This is really great too.
Yeah. Yeah. But when you start in this business.
Right.
And
starting this business. When I was a little kid growing up in Schenectady, New York.
But when you know you're doing football and, you start out and is it always Monday Night Football?
Yes.
Monday Night Football.
Sunday Night Football didn't exist when I was a kid. Right. Now I'm sure the generation where those two jobs are the standalone primetime NFL jobs.
Right.
But Monday Night Football, especially because, and I've told this story 1,000 times when people ask, you know, I grew up in an Italian-speaking neighborhood, Italian-speaking family. My grandfather, who I was with every single day, Joe Miranda, couldn't speak English, but I could impersonate Howard Cosell, and that would make him laugh. So that's what I did.
Right.
He watched Monday Night Football, he watched boxing, he watched horse racing. I've grown up to have all three of those jobs on ABC and ESPN, and that's very special to me because of my heritage and lineage and my ability to communicate with my grandfather by way of sports television.
Right, right. So Howard Cosell was the bomb.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, man.
And biggest difference for you calling NFL in college? Is it just that NFL is so much bigger or within the game?
The NFL is 1,000 times easier to prep.
Okay.
It's not even close.
Okay.
Not even close.
Right.
You got only a handful of players that hit the field. You know all the storylines, the amount of coverage, the amount of research, the amount of awareness nationally compared to 100 players on a team with a board that's got a 7th-string defensive back who may go into the game with freshmen and walk-ons and changing and pace of play. And I mean, you're out of your mind and trying to know every storyline of 128 teams and conferences, and it's not even close.
It's funny because, let me plug it, 2 weeks ago I had Gus Johnson on the podcast, and he said the same thing about colleges. You would think NFL being NFL— would be maybe more difficult just because of maybe more nerves or you're on a bigger stage. But he said the same exact thing.
More nerves, bigger stage. There's only how many the games I was doing in college. Were,
well, the playoff. And,
I mean, yeah. Most NFL games are regional games.
Right? Gus said, I said to Gus, if you could change one thing about college football, what would you change? And he said the double numbers.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. As a fan, you don't think about, you know, the play-by-play guy.
If I showed you a board for doing an Alabama game, right. I was doing like six a year of those.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing Alabama versus whoever. You should see what the board looks like, how many players you have to know. And then, oh, by the way, one quarter of them leave that year, and then the next year, you've been doing the Steelers for a decade and a half. You know who Ben Roethlisberger is, and you're prepped to do Ben Roethlisberger.
Right.
You know who Antonio Brown is. You know, I mean, so yes, the NFL is. But the scrutiny, well, although – I will say this, pound for pound, when you do major college football, I mean, those fans are now, you're talking about. Holy cow.
Certain fan bases.
Oh, certain fan bases.
Are not,
you know,
stable.
But the national scrutiny of the NFL.
Right.
The NFL is the only thing that this country has as one clean unifying force that everybody knows, follows, you know.
A lot of people tell you that's not the case anymore, too, which is, you know,
please look
nonsense.
At the numbers. Stop. Right. We make this. We want to know why we say it's not the case, because it is the case.
Right.
Because it's the biggest brand there is in America.
Right. It is interesting. I'm curious to see how it plays out this year with the penalty and the points being through the roof. I think that's going to help the ratings.
I really would think so. Yeah. NFL is just, you know, spin the wheel and pick the thing that people are going to be annoyed by every year, because it's like, you know.
Well, the anthem stuff seems to have died down, which is good.
I don't know what more to say about that.
Well, there's nothing to say about it until the president decides to chime in. And then it becomes a thing again.
Right.
And he will do that before the midterms, that's for sure. All right, Joe, hang tight one sec. I got to tell my beautiful SI Media Podcast listeners about today's sponsor. Today's episode of the SI Media Podcast is brought to you by HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. There's something for everyone with HelloFresh's selection. There are three plans to choose from: classic, veggie, and family. Each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated, trusted sources. Make family dinners fuss-free with HelloFresh's picky eater, kid-tested, and approved family recipes. Each week, there's a 20-minute meal on the classic menu for when you really don't have time for rediscovering the excitement of cooking. You should also look forward to your HelloFresh delivery knowing dinner just got that much easier. Feel confident when cooking HelloFresh with the simple recipes outlined on pictured step-by-step instruction cards. Anybody can do it. You'll enjoy not having to plan dinner, spend money on takeout, or worry about gathering ingredients week after week, because HelloFresh believes cooking should be simple and convenient, not a chore. All the ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits, so you know which ingredients go with which recipe. You don't have to spend all night in the kitchen, because the recipes only take about 30 minutes. It's delivered right to your door in recyclable insulated packaging, and there are lots of one-pot recipes for seriously speedy cooking, and of course, the best part, minimal cleanup. Cooking becomes something you actually want to do when you get home from work, and there are many benefits of subscribing, so you can keep enjoying HelloFresh week after week. Get delicious, filling meals delivered right to your door every week for less than $10 per serving and free shipping. That's a good price right there. Your account is so easy to manage, with the ability to choose your delivery date to match your ever-changing schedule and pause deliveries when you're on vacation. Now the good part. Right now, our listeners get $20 off your first three boxes. That's right, a total of $60 off for SI Media Podcast listeners. All you have to do is visit HelloFresh.com/media60 and enter the promo code media60. That's because you're going to get $60 off. It's that simple. Go to HelloFresh.com/media60 and enter the promo code media60 for $60 off your first three boxes of HelloFresh. Witten and Booger.
Yeah.
Do you...
You ever meet them?
It's a new booth. I have not met them.
Oh, they're lovely guys.
They're
wonderful guys.
New booth.
Yeah.
Do you go out of your way to spend time together away from the broadcast?
We're inseparable.
You are.
Oh, my God.
Even during the week when you're...
We text, if you open my phone, there's probably like a text thread that's already like a mile
deeper.
But
is that a conscious thing where, you know, let me bond brothers, with
man.
These guys?
During the audition process, that's a big part as to why this team was put together.
Mm-hmm.
because, you know, we wanted to be surrounded with people that are brothers and family and want to be inseparable and want to work together 365 days a year and always grow. I mean, we've been down to, I mean, we were just all over at Booger's house this weekend, hanging out with his wife, beautiful wife and kids, and, you know, sitting there for an endless meal and relaxing and, you know, everything. Work out together, hang out together, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Well, you're going to get sick of each other if you do it that, if you're that close.
Yeah, but that was part of the process of, are these my guys? Are these, you know.
Yeah.
So they're great, great, great people.
Yeah.
Great people.
I'm always curious because, like, I mean, you can get sick of people you work with that closely.
Sure, so you and Lou.
Yeah, exactly. I need a break every now and then.
That's why I tell them, record at SI.
Yeah, I record at SI half the time and keep the
No, I understand what you're saying, this was, first of all, Booger's been a friend for many years.
Yeah.
It's funny, Booger's, you know, I was involved in Booger's first audition when we brought him on for SEC Network and ESPN, and then we worked together on SEC football and college football, and then the second go-around with Booger now, which has been wonderful.
Yeah.
So he's been like family to me. You know, Booger's been out my house in Connecticut 100 times. Dan knows the family well. You know, I know his family, the whole thing. And Witten, you know, as soon as we got to know each other, late winter, early spring, right away, you know, right away I felt that connection with him.
Besides Cosell, who are your favorite announcers?
I'm a Brent guy. Yeah. I love Brent. I love Keith
Jackson. So you were there the first Monday night game. It was Rams Raiders in Oakland.
Yeah, my guy came over to say
and
hello.
Brent now doing the games on the radio.
He came over looking like part Johnny Cash, part Al Davis. He was in like a black satin leather jacket, a black shirt, a belt buckle.
He had black sunglasses.
I was like, what is this? What are you? It was like
Brent's living it up honestly, in the desert.
Oh, he's like Mr. Vegas. Like, if ever there is a job for the late autumn of his career, it's this one right here.
You know, it's one of those weird things where, like, you know, you're always shocked when someone leaves ESPN. And for Brent to leave ESPN, and you know, there's always, who knows if he left, he was pushed out, whatever, you always hear rumbling. But to leave ESPN and go to Vegas and start your own gambling network. And then out of nowhere at, you know, 75, 76 years old, he gets this play-by-play gig with the Raiders.
So, I mean, he's an absolute all-timer.
Great story.
You know, but it's funny, obviously we do the same job. Mm-hmm. But there were times in our career we worked together, which was a thrill. So when we had the Triple Crown on ABC back in the day, and I was the host with Jerry Bailey and Randy Moss, the current Mike Tirico or what was the Tom Hammond role at NBC. So I had that for 6-7 years. Mm-hmm. So we did, you know, all the Derby stuff and then the Belmont, the Breeders' Cup and all that. And Brent had this sort of venerable host, bring us on the air, bring us in and out of commercial break, which meant for like 6 days I'd be at the racetrack with Brent.
I'm sure
Derby
you have
week,
stories.
Creek this week, Belmont week, Breeders' Cup week. Those, reading the racing form with him, having breakfast. I remember the Garden City Hotel, having coffee and breakfast, sitting there at the form with Brent, night before the Derby, going out with our wives. Oh, man. And you want to see him in his element now.
So Keep going. I don't want you to stop the story.
Yes, I'm a Brent fan. Yeah, I like Brent. I like a lot of guys. But I guess I like Brent because there's a little bit of Brent that I can easily relate to.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Keith Jackson.
I need a Brent story from the track, though. If you were there for 6 days with him, I need something.
I can't remember. I'm sure there were some bad beats or some really funny moments and some laddies, but it's just the way he carries. This guy's got swag like nobody's got swag. Hey, the way he carries himself and the way he talks is so funny to me.
Brent had me on his Serious radio show last night. He puts me on Monday nights to talk about prop bets for the Monday night game.
Right.
And I said, so he has me on with two of his little wise guys, odds makers, sharks there, you know. So I said to, you know, so they're asking me some questions. I said, I got to ask you guys a question. I go, tell me the books. Did anybody have the Bills straight up on Sunday?
Oh, against the Vikings? What was the money line on that?
It was like plus 3,000 or plus 1,000. I don't even know what.
Right.
And
like Floyd Mayweather opponent.
Yeah.
Money line.
And one of the guys goes, oh, yeah, someone had the Bills straight up. And it was Brent.
Did he really?
Brent had the Bills
he cashed
to win.
On that?
Yes.
Wow.
What more do you need to know about
when
Brent?
When he joined your podcast,
yeah.
This is before he took the Raiders job.
Yeah.
Didn't you say he should call the Las Vegas Bowl?
That's a great call. I said ESPN.
Hey, the Las Vegas Bowl is going to be big time now. The conference affiliation is jumping up.
I said, will that be able to happen now?
We
have to get Joe on the bandwagon here to get Brent to call that.
ESPN, I said at the time before he had the Raiders gig, ESPN should have brought him out of retirement for one game, and it should be the Las Vegas Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there.
The Las Vegas Bowl is going to be a great bowl in the coming years. Yeah. Great. When the stadium gets open, I think it's going to be Big 12, Pac 12, right? Is that what it's going to be?
Yeah.
It's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of points. Everything's through the prism of over-unders with you.
This is a business. So you mentioned Keith Jackson as well.
I cut you off there.
Who doesn't love Keith Jackson?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of guys. I got a lot of respect for a lot of guys.
Yeah.
I'm not, I like passion-based broadcasters. I like, big moments, guys who get so into it that, there's a lot of guys I like.
Do you ever? It's funny because I had Gus and now you.
And I admire guys who have talents and traits and characteristics that I don't have as well.
Right. Is being too loud or too over the top ever a concern for you?
Well, I just like, as long as I'm being authentic, I really don't give a.
Right.
You can say. As long as I'm me, what do I give a?
Right. You know? Some people say, I know that that's a criticism with some announcers, that some announcers are too loud, too over the top. I don't care. I mean,
it's all about being authentic. Like I always explain television this way in terms of using that as the threshold of being or the spectrum of okay, you're forcing, you're contrived, you're being crazy, and you're being authentic. Is cooking shows for years and years were local access TV, boring as bland as horribly produced things, and why would you watch? You just go right past them. And then somewhere in the 90s. Portuguese immigrant guy from New Bedford who went down to New Orleans was doing bam and throwing spices. But this is how he talked, and that's how passionate he was about throwing spice on top of shrimp. Right. He was authentic. And all of a sudden, we're watching TV shows, and all of a sudden, we got celebrity chefs, right? Because Emeril Lagasse was authentic. And
for me,
good
it was Justin Wilson. With the red suspenders, the Creole guy. Ooh,
he's that guy with the white mustache.
Yeah, the glasses.
I vaguely remember.
He wore the blue denim shirt with the red suspenders. Yeah.
You're gonna put him
if
on
you're
TV
Italian, though, there's only one cooking show right now. I'm gonna go totally off.
Currently?
Yeah.
What's currently that you like?
Lydia.
Oh,
well, she's phenomenal.
Lydia's
her son Joe. You know Joe?
I know who he is. I've never met him. Yeah.
Yeah, you know where he went to college?
Where?
Boston College.
There you go.
Did
Lydia ever cook for you?
No, Lydia. Okay. No, but I love the restaurant up on the Upper East Side.
Becco and Flitia.
No, Flitia, I love now. Flitia, the braised prawns of Flitia with the pesto is tremendous. Yeah.
My grandmother used to come over to my parents' house every Sunday, and we'd all watch. That was what my grandmother had to watch.
Lydia's Italy on Public Broadcasting.
She's wonderful. She's a great cook.
So I watched Lydia, I think, of my grandmother. It's still
Nabilitan. Yeah. Nabilitan. You're Nabilitan. I can tell by your facial confirmation.
So am I.
You got a little something in you. You got troppo calabrese. Mezzo calabrese, mezzo Nabilitan.
That's me.
When was the last time you went to Italy?
Well, because of my work, I don't get back the way my mother does. My aunts and uncles live there. My cousins live there. My mother came over in 1954. The last time I was there was 6 years ago, and that's just because of my career. I travel every single week.
Right, of course.
It's nonstop. And then my kids, we dedicate ourselves to whatever is going on with our kids. So this year for a big trip, my daughter's heavily involved in sports, and she had a huge international tournament in Asia. So we went to Asia for 3 weeks this year, which was outrageous.
Yeah.
Which, strangely enough, the Asian culture is they have a great love of Italian culture, especially in Hong Kong and actually in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And I went into some of the best Italian food I had, some of the best Italian restaurants I went into were in Asia.
Wow.
And I would walk into these places, and my wife will tell you it was unbelievable. And a maitre d', a host, somebody would walk up to me and speak Italian, just on site.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many Romans and Nabilitans, people from Naples over there who are in the food and hospitality industry and some of the best restaurants. I had a wonderful time over there experiencing my native through their eyes.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. Restaurant Tosca in Hong Kong and a couple others, Otto Meza in Hong Kong and Marini's in Malaysia and wonderful people. And it was tremendous.
So 6 years ago was your last trip.
Yeah, I was over to visit my aunt and uncle. Yeah,
NFL in Italy. Is it? Do you know?
I usually when I would go over a more consistent, I'd be there in March and we'd be watching March Madness and.
I have relatives international. We don't get into the sports. I have relatives in Sicily.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they haven't asked. They were here a couple. They were here about a year ago.
Yeah.
They did not ask any. I should have asked them what. how American sports are there if they pay attention to the only thing they wanted to talk about when they were here was Trump. But I won't get into that.
Yeah, they're fascinated by politics over there. I'm not. Well, I loathe politics.
When you have a deranged president, it causes havoc all over the country. I'm curious, what sport have you not called that you would like to call?
What sport I've not called is a long list. What sport that I haven't
called that you would most want to call?
I mean, my greatest passion is football and boxing and horse racing. Mm-hmm. And I've been blessed enough to do all three of those at the highest level.
NBA, MLB, do you have any desire?
MLB, when I tell you, not one speck or ounce of desire, ever. I grew up a baseball fan going to Yankee Stadium and then Shea in the 80s and, you know, all that. And zero interest whatsoever.
Too boring?
There is not a major sport in America that aligns less with me than Major League Baseball.
Too much downtime, too slow.
Bro, if you know me for this, it is not me at all. At all.
Right. Will you watch?
I wish I had the skill to call hockey. I don't. I love.
It's too fast.
I grew up going to RPI hockey games, Mike Odessa and Darren Pupa, and that when they won the national championship in 85. Absolutely lifelong Boston College hockey fan, go to BC games my whole time I was there and still dabbling going back to games. Jerry York, he's the Nick Saban of college hockey. Yale season ticket holder. I love hockey. And then my daughter's a diehard Rangers fan. And I find as the in-arena experience, hockey blows me away. I love it. I'm not woven into the fabric of the sport. I'm a fan. I appreciate it. Not the way football and boxing and horse racing to me. Those are three sports I'm embedded in. Mm-hmm. You know, football is my whole life since I was a little kid, a football family. I had a horrible football injury. My son's a college football player. Boxing, you know, I used to train in a gym. And I'm a diehard lifelong fan. I've called probably, you know, as many fights as anybody, you know, who knows how many Jim Lampley's called, but I'm sure Jim Lampley and I are over 10,000 fights called in our careers. And horse racing, you know, I grew up at the Saratoga Racetrack and going to OTB with all my inveterate aunts and uncles every day of my life. So those are my three.
And you were getting on me about being focused on over-unders. And
please,
you spent your life at the OTB.
Yeah, what was the double today? What did it bring back? How'd the try pay?
So NHL, you would love to be able to. You feel like you don't have the skill set. MLB.
No, or the bean pot.
The bean pot.
Yeah.
That would be what you'd want to call
it. Yeah, I'd want to call it. If you give me a BCBU bean pot finals, that would be what I'd want to call it.
Now ESPN.
But I'm not good enough to. I'm telling you for a fact, I could not call hockey.
Okay. ESPN has the NBA. No interest in dabbling in that every now and then?
I mean, the NBA seems, see, I think the NBA becomes a long-form soap opera storyline sport, so I wouldn't just, drop into it. I think you have to know it from start to finish, the whole season and all the storylines.
There is a lot of storylines, a lot of drama.
But I'm very content. I'm very contented with what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, it does seem, it does seem most play-by-play men, especially the lead ones, you know, Buck, Nance, yourself. I mean, no one calls one sport. Everyone seems to call multiple sports.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if that's an economic decision.
Yeah, but I don't want to stretch myself too crazy.
Right.
I have never called a sport that I don't feel comfortable in saying that I know it.
Yeah. Okay. What was you said you had a terrible...
I've said no to calling certain things.
Such as?
Years and years ago, there was an opportunity to not do the play-by-play, to be involved. I think it was some, you know, sideline reporting when we had the NHL.
Okay.
And I said, no. I said, I'm not dropping in on that. I haven't been with you.
I mean, listen, I respect that from the standpoint of, you know, if you don't know
that drives me crazy, by the way, when somebody doesn't have the vernacular and lexicon and understand the storylines from start to finish.
This is totally off the beaten path.
Oh, this will be good.
But, you know, this one's really wet. But when you say that, I can't wait to see how Fox handles getting the WWE and WWE SmackDown, because supposedly Fox
Now you hit on something, bro.
Fox is going to
hold on. Are you considering that a sport?
I do.
Because that would be on top of my list.
I do.
I love pro wrestling.
But
no, hold on a second.
Wait, let me just say one thing.
No, hold on. If that's qualifying.
It's qualifying.
Then yes.
WrestleMania.
SummerSlam.
You want to call WrestleMania.
If I could ever call WrestleMania.
All right. Who would you want as your broadcast
Sean
partner?
Sean Farnham. The college basketball broadcast partner.
I meant in the wrestling. Would you want to call it Jerry Lawler? Would you want to call it with...
God rest his soul, but Rowdy Roddy Piper.
That's the
dream
booth.
But, you know, I would go for... I could pull something out. Hey, listen, if we're going to put this thing on premium cable, then give me the Iron Sheik. But
that would be interesting.
You know, I think Vince McMahon and I think their operation, pound for pound, does as great a job from production to marketing to understanding what the fan and the viewer wants of delivering to the fan. Yeah. By the way, and that's one of the things, our new leadership at our place, mm-hmm. I think, is very good with that too. I think Jimmy Pitaro is excellent at understanding what the fan wants.
Right. He has calmed the ship down a lot over there in recent months.
Yeah, I won't speak to that, but I'll just tell you, I think that whenever, as a leader of an organization that's delivering a creative product, mm-hmm. I don't care whether you're running a restaurant, which my wife and my wife's family still does to this day, you know, whatever you do, you have to understand what the consumer really wants and desires, and they're telling you.
I preach just that, deliver that every day at SI.com.
Just deliver that.
Yep. I say, think of who's reading this. Think of the readers. Who's reading this?
The McMahon family? Stephanie and Triple H and, oh, man, I believe it was Stephanie's birthday last week. Yeah. That's what I want.
But they have a women's...
Can I do that? Can you make that happen?
What, to call in a wrestling
event? How about the Monday Night Football crew goes and gets to call one match?
If you worked at Fox, you'd have a better chance because they're getting SmackDown now.
Oh,
and my point was
so good. Dude, let me tell you
something. And here's what's funny, though.
You want to talk about something that aligns with my style of broadcasting? Oh, I would love doing that.
All right, but see, here's the thing about it. This is why I brought it up. So supposedly when SmackDown goes to Fox, Fox is going to make this big thing and have like a pregame show, a postgame show. Now, are we going to see Joe Buck doing a SmackDown pregame show? Because you know that's what Fox probably wants to do. Now, for the viewers and the wrestling fans are going to say, this is ridiculous. But you're saying you could handle a SmackDown pregame show, no problem.
Oh, I'd love it.
There you go.
Oh, I'd love it.
Yeah.
Well,
ESPN has some sort of business arrangement with WWE. I'm sure you can get in there and call a match somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not telling you I'm out seeking
bosses.
It, but if you're saying this is a dream scenario, what's the one sporting event that you haven't covered? That
WrestleMania.
Oh, WrestleMania.
SummerSlam. All right.
Oh.
Tell the ESPN.
So good.
I know ESPN PR listens to this.
Yes.
Let someone in charge know, because I know you have some sort of deal with WWE, even though you deny it, you do.
We have a deal with WWE?
Oh, yeah. You guys get all the scoops and... The great Arash Markazi covers everything, and WWE gives you guys all the news before it breaks.
He knows so much more about where I work than I do.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know. Let Joe call a WWE match.
He's a digger.
We got to set that up.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. But yeah,
maybe even just go in as a guest ring announcer.
I'm sure they would.
You think they would?
Absolutely, they would let you do that.
Let me set this up. See, I want to put this on Stephanie's horizon here.
Sure, she's listening.
If Booger, Witten, and I went in as the guest ring announcers, because then you got Witt, who's 6'6", 260, ripped out of his mind. You got Booger, you know, who's a human, you know, big. I mean, this guy is like.
Well, they probably mix it up too with the wrestlers.
Square.
Too.
He's just the thickest. Oh, I think that would be.
They let Booger's body slam someone for sure.
Yeah, let Booger military press somebody, Witten, throw somebody off the top ropes.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And I'd still have the mic in and I'd be calling it as we're ring announcing. Oh,
or what if
so
they,
good.
What if they surprised the crowd and came out as like, you know, the new Legion of Doom? He comes out as Paul Ellering.
He's so
good.
Oh, now I could do myself a Heyman now.
Yeah,
you know, you give me a Jimmy Mouth of the South or a classy Freddie Blassie. You know,
there's no reason why the WWE wouldn't be down for this. I think it could happen easily.
It'd be so good.
It could be. Who
now you got me stoked.
Hey, listen, there's
now
been the crossovers before. LT, Karl Malone,
that's
Dennis Rodman.
Right. That's right. I want Monday Night Football. I want Monday Night Football as guest ring announcers.
Well, that's the only problem is you're in competing time slots.
Yeah, but we do it on the paper.
There is an off season.
No, not everything's going to be over at the other guy, right?
No, just the SmackDown on Thursday.
Yeah.
The other guy. You're a good company, man. The other guy.
You got Monday Night Raw. You got the Sunday Night pay-per-views.
Yeah.
The two best apps in the world are the ESPN app and the WWE app. Pound for pound, what
are
you
getting for
$4.99 and $9.99 for all that content? Come on.
The WWE. Well, here's it. Well, this is good. This gets back.
You get all the pay-per-views.
Yeah. This gets back
$120.
You
get every pay-per-view under the sun.
Vince McMahon, the genius of Vince McMahon to create the WWE network. When he first did it, he was destroyed by people.
Yes, he was. They didn't see it.
They were giving up $50
Correct.
Per person for each pay-per-view.
Correct.
And now you get it for free for the $10 a month. And it turned out he was so ahead of ESPN has ESPN Plus now. SI has an app.
We're talking about WWE for half an hour here.
And who cares? And WWE was so ahead of the time with that app. It was
so good.
I like how you got in the plug for the ESPN app. That was good, though. That'll keep the bosses happy.
You want to talk about a value? Hold on a second. You know how much money I've spent on boxing pay-per-views in the last 30 years of my life?
Oh, I can. I would hope you ESPN covers that for you.
I don't know, you got to talk to my wife with the cable bill, but $4.99, and you're getting basically what was on HBO for the last 35 years,
right?
Either on E1 now, free on Saturday nights, or you're getting for $4.99 a month with everything, not just for the boxing, with everything else, college football, the tennis, the everything.
You're pushing it a little bit. It's not.
Well, hold on a second.
There's some college football that's not like must-watch college football. It's not putting Alabama, Georgia.
$75 on a Saturday night to watch pay-per-view boxing. $4.99.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have a ton of UFC. UFC is going to be big on their app.
Bud Crawford just fought. Vasily Lomachenko is fighting on ESPN Plus coming up. I mean, the pound-for-pound best fighters in the world that would be fighting on HBO pay-per-view just a year ago, 2 years ago.
All right. $4.99. The bosses will love that. The bosses will
$4.99.
All right. We got the plug-in for ESPN Plus.
That wasn't a plug. I'm being honest.
No, I believe you.
I'm a consumer.
The best app. That's a little bit much. But
I lay in bed. I'm watching Mike Tyson fights from 1986.
It's not Netflix.
Oh, Netflix is good now.
Are you spending $8.99 for Mike Francesa's app? I gotta ask.
Not doing that. No, but I like him. I ran into him at our agent's office over here. I like him.
Oh, he's CAA. A nice guy. You're a CAA guy with Mike. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, CAA got a hold of Mike, and then he started tweeting, and he's got apps.
See what happens.
And, yeah. Yeah.
What's your Netflix show?
It's funny you say that. Coming in this morning on the train, I saw that they're coming out with Making a Murderer 2.
Oh, really?
Which I don't know.
I never got into the first one.
Oh, the first one consumed my life.
I know, but I'm like obsessed with
And I don't know
I'm Homeland, The Crown. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Bloodlines.
Making the Murderer 2 is a continuation of the first one, or if it's a different case. I hope it's a continuation.
Are you a Billions guy?
No.
You're out of your mind.
Why I know. I get this all the time about this show, that show.
No, you're out of your mind. It's not even worth it. Please. You can't make a cogent
Billions.
Argument.
Yeah. We did not. We'll go back to The Sopranos if you want. If I put on Netflix.
I'm done with The Sopranos. All right, how many years has it been since The Sopranos? Huh?
I think it's been about 10, 11.
Okay.
Yeah. If I put on Netflix, I end up watching The Office. No matter what's on there, I end up in The Office.
It's good.
All these new shows, I go to The Office.
Todd Blackwood, huge Office fan.
All right, hold up, Joe, 1 second. Let me just give the SI Media Podcast listeners one more note here, because today's episode is also sponsored by RX Bar. RX Bar is a whole food protein bar. What does that mean? Easy. Their bars are made with real, whole ingredients. They want to be transparent and upfront with their customers, which is why they label the core ingredients, egg whites, dates, and nuts, on the front of the package, and the flavor components on the back, real unsweetened chocolate, coconut, yum, apples, etc. Beyond being a go-to snack that checks off a number of nutritional boxes, RX bars actually taste delicious. They found creating a bar made from real whole food ingredients actually tastes better than anything else out there. They don't need fillers, the additives, the chemicals, or the added sugar. You'd likely recognize RX bar at the shelf. They're the ones who have egg whites for protein, dates to bind, nuts for texture, and other delicious ingredients like unsweetened chocolate, real fruit, and spices like sea salt or cinnamon. RX bars are gluten-free, soy-free, and dairy-free. Whether you like sweet or savory, chocolate or fruit flavors, there's definitely an RX bar for you. No artificial colors, no artificial flavors, preservatives, or fillers. RX bars are great for a number of occasions, whether it's breakfast on the go, snack at the office to get you through that 3 p.m. slump we all go through. Throw it in your bag if you're going on a flight, or toss it in your backpack if you're going on a bike ride or a hike. And it also works as a pre- or post-workout snack. Egg white protein stands out as the source of protein that is easy for your body to absorb. And RX bars come in 14 delicious flavor varieties. Here we go. Let's see. Mango pineapple, chocolate hazelnut, peanut butter and berries, chocolate sea salt, coconut chocolate, mixed berry, blueberry, maple sea salt, apple cinnamon, mint chocolate chip, my favorite, peanut butter chocolate, and coffee chocolate, and they have seasonal flavors as well. And now RX Bar has debuted a RX Nut Butter, which contains a few simple and similar ingredients like egg whites, fruits, and nuts. Each single-serve packet contains delicious creamy nut butter with 9 grams of high-quality protein. It's squeezable and spreadable and pairs great with fruit, rice cakes, pretzels, or just straight out of the pouch. The nut butter flavors include honey cinnamon peanut butter and vanilla almond butter. These are delicious. Now, more importantly, for the SI Media Podcast listeners out there, 25% off your first order. Just visit rxbar.com/SIMedia and enter the promo code SIMedia at checkout. Once again, 25% off For the SI Media podcast listeners, you just go to rxbar.com/SI Media. Your promo code is SI Media at checkout, 25% off RX Bar. Is there any sort of, let's see. I don't want to question.
You can ask me anything. You're not going to offend me.
No, I'm not going to offend you.
Nothing you can offend me.
Do you give input to producers on the telecast? Like, do you say, maybe we should, or do you?
Do I give input on this? Well, I'm the most outspoken.
Okay. No, because some people think, okay, my job's play-by-play. I'm going to do this. Okay.
I've already texted our producer 100 times already on the plane.
You told him, nope, don't show booger anymore on the.
Yeah, okay, stop with it. No, yes, we're nonstop every day. The producer of Monday Night Football, Jay Rothman, who has produced more football than I could ever dream of, you know, working in my lifetime. He gets up at like 5:30 in the morning. We're already texting. We call all day. We're up late at night. We're together on the road with nonstop conversations about what we're doing, this, that. Do you like this? Do you not like this? Do you, right. You know, yes. We all share our opinions, and we're all not bashful about doing so.
All right. No booger on the crane.
That's your opinion. I love booger on the crane.
Don't show it. That's all. Let's do a couple.
You have to give people the visual context so they understand his point of view.
Okay. Let me give you a couple of football questions
to
wrap up. Is this the end for the Patriots?
It feels different.
It does.
It does not feel like what we've seen in the past when they've had some of the speed bumps. There is a lack of talent in certain pockets on the team that you can't ignore. They are long in the tooth enough where it's fair to question. And what I saw the other night with what Coach Pasqualoni, who I don't think got enough credit for what happened the other night in the defensive game plan, did, was alarming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think the AFC overall comes into the season as a weaker conference that you can be middle, upper pack and still get things accomplished.
And the Josh Gordon.
And the best team in the AFC has a huge flaw, and that's Kansas City defensively. Right. Right?
The Josh Gordon
and Jacksonville offensively.
Scenario will be fascinating,
yes,
in that if he plays in every game, that's what Brady needs more than anything right now,
no,
because he's got no
that
weapons.
There's no
and
weapon.
The triple team and Gronk on every down.
Yeah, you bracket and, Gronk, and, you know.
But who knows? If, you know, I was going to ask: do the Chiefs have enough defense to get them to a Super Bowl?
Well, they have enough offense,
right?
And sometimes having enough offense is your best defense. They appear to be a team that is so good in one facet of the game that it may not matter,
right? Which would be interesting to see, that's for sure. Who will have...
I can't wait for that game Monday night, for him to have that big national stage,
right.
And now we get the full examination of what they are on week four.
That's a
in a place that's, I don't care
good
what
test.
Denver's been doing,
right.
Really
test.
Hard to play.
It's
and against Von Miller, I mean, that's the first good real
absolutely.
Nice. You know?
It's a good test.
Yeah.
Who, when all is said and done, who will have the better pro career? Rosen, Allen, Darnold, Mayfield.
So the rookies.
Yeah.
Okay. When all is said and done, who will have the better pro career? I think Mayfield is a sensational force of energy. And I think that's what you saw in the second half the other day. I think that it's going to depend on what they're surrounded by and what the franchise ends up looking like. Because right now, those franchises that they're on are not going to look the way they're going to look for the meat of those careers.
Right. Right.
So I think which general manager makes some really good sound decisions to support those guys. Because right now, Cleveland looks to have a defense that can support winning and enough pieces where they can really turn things around here, maybe a little faster than we've all assumed. I was very impressed by Josh Allen the other day, and he has the best physical tools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he throws the ball 80 yards.
Throw
in the
through
air,
that wall right there. But what he did in terms of just showing you guts and desire, running and hurtling the air, it was really impressive. You know, they're probably a little further away. Arizona appears to be in trouble right now. And then you're going to have the end of Fitz's career, and, you know, you're going to have this transition there. And then the Jets are seemingly headed in the right direction, knowing that they're going to have upwards of $80-something million in cap room in the offseason and draft picks. So I think the Jets roster will look very different next year and the year after, which should really help Darnold a lot. So I would put Mayfield and Darnold towards the top of that list.
Yeah, I think everyone would agree with that.
Yeah.
I love Mayfield. I love them in college.
I do too. I did that Red River game last year, Texas OU. He just exudes juice. Yeah. He's the juice factory. There's just juice coming out of every pore, man.
Yeah. And he, you know, I've been impressed with the way he's handled everything, too. And, you know, there was a lot of this, you know, stuff about his personality, but he's been phenomenal
yeah.
so far with that.
I like
stuff,
the guy. Every time yeah. I've been with him in person, I had dinner with him up in New Haven. We were at the Walter Camp dinner. I just like the guy. Yeah.
Well, let's wrap with this.
Yeah, sure.
Since we went back to college, tell me what it's like on a Saturday when you're watching your son play. Can you keep your stuff together?
Horrific.
Yeah.
Horrific.
You're sick for 4 hours,
yes,
basically.
For 4 hours. It was yeah. horrible. I had to do coaches' meetings. I was sitting with Ryan Fitzpatrick the other day doing, you know, player meetings and Dirk Cutter and all those guys mm-hmm. and Gerald McCoy. You know, while my son was playing on ESPN2 the other day, and they had a horrible game. They were playing great.
Right.
Well, Wake Forest, I was at the game. It was a Thursday night game, so I was at the game.
All right, they lost.
And he played well there. Just lost to Purdue.
Purdue.
And listen, they got a lot of talent. That BC team's got a lot of talent. They were 23rd in the country. Five interceptions. It was just one of those games where from the moment it starts, you know, and so they come down the field, they score, and John runs out, and he's out there. And, like, right as I see number 98 run out to kick, it's like, you know, I think Fitzpatrick walks in the room, so I'm like, oh, I got over here on the app side, but you know, and I just give a little glance like that. But
as I say, can you even watch the kicks?
It's very difficult. Yeah. It's very difficult. Yeah. Stuff that, and you know what it's done for me though, Jimmy, is watching my son become, you know, a sought after recruit as mm-hmm. a punter and kicker, and then watching him now play as an 18-year-old
right.
in his first weeks of college, how the heck he's a starter it's just he's still your little guy.
Right.
So it makes me appreciate that everybody I go out there and broadcast, they've got a family, they've got parents, and they got family who are watching them, and they got, you know, and yeah. somebody really, really cares about them. Somebody's watching every play where they're only watching that person, and they just are hoping he doesn't get injured and nothing bad happens. And so it's given me that perspective, which is very unique. And that's why I'm so upset that I misidentified somebody last night, because somebody just wants to hear their son's name said properly on national TV and acknowledge. Some high school coach just wants to hear they mentored that kid and hear their name. That's why it really bothers
me. Punters and kickers get the shaft. That's just the way.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do they play this week, BC?
They play Temple at home this week. Yeah, and then next week they're at NC State. And then they have Miami, the Red Bandana game, the Wells Crowther game. Is the ESPN home game on a Friday this year against Miami. That's one of them. But that has turned in recent years in college football to be one of the most special new traditions mm-hmm. when they honor the 9/11 hero, Wells Crowther, with the red bandanas. Mm-hmm. Have you ever read Tom Rinaldi's book?
Yes. Well, I don't know. Yeah. Not the book,
you know,
but
the story.
I know the story. Yeah.
So, you know, the BC team changes their uniform every year to red bandana fringe, you know.
Yeah.
And so John is very excited to play in that red bandana game. But I just want him to be a good teammate and a good kid and get a great education. But the fact that he has to do it every week on national TV sort of does turn my stomach.
Yeah. And, you know, Twitter loves the we love to tweet college kickers every time there's a miss. And I feel bad when I do it because they're like 18, but, you know, they miss a 20-yard field goal that you have money on the game. And
you have to bash them
on Twitter.
Yeah, there you go.
You know. Yeah. What's your relationship with Twitter?
I never did it for 9 years. I tweeted a period and sent that out, just a dot and sent that out 9 years ago when it first started.
Yeah.
And then I got pressure from a lot of folks because of the current job that I have that you should be active.
Do you check your mentions?
No, I don't.
Play-by-play person should ever check their mentions.
Yeah, well, of course. You know what you're going to get. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just try to be joyful and fun and promote the brand and have fun. And, but, you know, there's times I won't do it for a bit and then, you know, whatever.
Not a good thing for play-by-play people.
No, come on. I know what my business is and what my job is and people, the hate that's coming and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, but
I'm the rookie to it, although at this level, you know, other guys have been dealing with.
You're a rookie, but you're not a rookie.
No, I've been doing this for 20-something years.
And like you said, I mean, you had that.
I've got a bunch of Alabama and all, you know, those moments.
But here's the thing. That's the thing about Twitter. I think everyone experiences this with Twitter. There's so much bad and then there's so much good because the Tess effect was a big
Twitter. That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. So good and bad. So, all right. Well, I appreciate you coming in and doing this.
Man.
I had a lot of fun.
It was fun.
When you got a podcast where you can cover WWE, Lydia Bastianich, The Sopranos, and going to Asia for good Italian food.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, Tosca and Marini's. Marini's 57 in Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah.
Killer.
We covered it all. You let me say get Booger
Black
off the
truffle.
Crane. We covered everything.
So good.
We covered everything. I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you. It's all right. Very nice
Have a
to
great
be with
rest
you.
Of the season. And Chiefs, Rams on a Monday night.
Yeah, November 19th.
I'm looking forward to that.
That could be amazing.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one for sure.
Yeah.
All right, my thanks to Joe Tessitore. Appreciated the time. And remember, Wednesdays now for the SI Media Podcast. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Do you know about the Locked On Podcast Network? The number one daily sports podcast network. Locked On has a daily podcast on every NBA and NFL team, plus a growing lineup of college and MLB teams. You get a daily bite-sized podcast giving you the latest on your team from the local experts. Lakers fans, search Locked On Lakers. Cowboys fans, search Locked On Cowboys. Just search Locked On, your favorite team, on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On, your favorite team. Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.